conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
TMA Live will be at Hot Shots in Fenton on December 20th. For this event, we have teamed up with Hot Shots for a holiday toy drive to benefit friends of kids with cancer. Anyone who comes to the Hot Shots in Fenton that day and makes a cash or toy donation will receive a coupon for a free Hot Shots appetizer as a small way of saying thank you. Plus, there will be a raffle for Blues tickets and Anheuser-Busch swag bag. Come out and enjoy great specials on Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. That's this month's TMA Live at Hot Shots in Fenton on December 20th.
End of the year tax time comes on quickly. Well, it's time now for you to look at your personal property and real estate tax obligations. Let Royal Banks of Missouri help you get to the finish line in great shape. We can show you our line of home equity products that will get you there. Call our terrific home equity lender, Carol Hofer, at 314-212-1500 for more information. It's Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Tim Woodward. I'm celebrating 10 years of being a PI with a new book, Bad Mood, Good Mood. It's 50 hilarious and true stories of the life of a PI. It's a great $15 stocking stuffer, or send someone an e-version or an audiobook version for just $13. Check it out online, badmoodgoodmood.com.
Denise here from Appliance Discounters. Let's talk GE Appliances. First of all, what do you prefer? Professional and European? Restaurant inspired? Modern with clean lines? Now you can choose any inspiration with the GE product line, as well as a variety of finishes like stainless steel, black stainless, slate, and black slate, and they're all on display at any of the Appliance Discounters locations. As always, get them for the lowest price and with rebates up to $1,500 on select packages. Shop the locally owned Appliance Discounters with 6 showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Good afternoon, everyone. From the 590 The Fan KFNS Studios, I'm Tim Woodburn. We'll get you right back to the large morning show in the afternoon. Hour number two with Frank Opinion and Dr. Doug Pernikoff. But some major breaking news to bring your way. The St. Louis Baseball Cardinals have acquired first baseman Paul Goldschmidt from the Arizona Diamondbacks in a trade that the Diamondbacks just announced on Twitter in the last 15 minutes. The Cardinals, in return, will send catcher Carson Kelly, pitcher Luke Weaver, a player to be named later, an infielder prospect from the minor leagues, and a draft pick for the all-star first baseman who will be a free agent after this upcoming season. Again, the Cardinals have acquired first baseman Paul Goldschmidt from the Arizona Diamondbacks.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call.
Drive your Chevrolet. I bet you this is the only radio show and the only commercial done for a Chevy dealer in this country that uses this music from like 50, 60 years ago. And I'm pretty proud of that. Let's welcome John Landolf. I think we're the only ones. I don't think anybody else uses it. Do you?
I don't think so.
Is John here?
John?
Apparently he is.
You can do a lot of things with a duck call, you know?
No, besides you can.
Besides blow, you know, a duck call for ducks to come in for harvest. Hey, how are you?
If just anybody picked up a duck call and just blew into it, would it mean anything to ducks, or do you have to work it a certain way?
No, I mean, you have to practice.
Like a musical instrument.
One of my best friends in life, the guy that got me into duck hunting, you know, Stephen Potter. Steve Potter. He, time I was blowing a duck call and
Mr. Potter.
No, Dan, don't. I almost said, Dan, don't do it. I just was about to say, don't do your Mr. Potter, and it was too late. I knew you'd do that. Sorry, Johnny. If you can't say Potter's name again, because if you do, Dan goes into his It's a Wonderful Life, Mr. Potter.
Steve Potter, hunted with him yesterday, and I was blowing this duck call, and he said, hey, can I see that? I'm like, yeah. And he threw it out the window, and he goes, don't you ever blow a duck call in front of me again until you practice using the tape. You know, you go up, go to the park in the morning, listen to him, grab your duck call. And I'm like, okay, that's probably the kick in the butt I needed, and So I still can't blow a duck call as good as he can, but like, what is that? That's a feed call. So when you hear them and they come in at night, of course, way after shooting time, and they, you know, they're flapping their wings, they're getting up to get the corn off the corn stalks because we have flooded cornfields. They make a racket that it's just unbelievable. It's just a great noise you know, you just hope they don't eat all your corn out before the season's over with.
All right, so does anybody know why they make that noise, what it is they're saying to the other ducks? Well, hey, come get some corn?
That's them eating. That's the noise they make when they're they don't have teeth. They're little bitty ridges. That's what they're doing when they're, you know, stripping the corn off of the ear, and they're just shoveling it right down their throat. They're pigs, I tell you. They're pigs, those little ducks. They're adorable.
I know this makes me sound like an idiot, but I never knew that ducks ate corn off the cobs off of corn stalks.
Yes.
I never knew that.
Mm.
So do they just... Is the corn still on the stalk? Is the corn still on the stalk?
Also, they do flooded rice fields, and they feed. They dip down into the water, and they pull that rice up and the surrounding, that they just eat. They gotta eat, man. It's a long way to fly from like our ducks come from Saskatchewan, Canada, and they go all the way down to Texas and then back again.
We don't have rice here, do we?
No, that's down south, sir. And Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas. We got corn here. Corn and millet.
Am I the only one here who never knew we grew rice in the South? And I'm from the South. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I knew they grew rice in Arkansas.
I thought that was all Vietnamese stuff or Asia or something. I didn't know. I never met anybody who was in the rice business.
Well, that was the San Francisco treat. I know.
That was rice-a-roni.
Oh.
Yeah. Another attempt at humor, Dan, that failed.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Good word, attempt.
Thanks. Just yeah. Keep it up, because it gives us someone to pick on, because everyone else in this program is, like, perfect, okay?
Okay.
So is Dr. Doug on next?
Yes.
He absolutely is.
I got a young 17-month-old Drake, the Wonder Dog, laying in his box right here next week. He'd much rather be out at the farm, at Wingshoot Farm, than in a dog box, retrieving ducks. But we had to work. Had to work today. He looked at me. He goes, boss. He goes, you young. Boss, we going on?
That how he talks?
Okay.
Well, he might be mentally challenged the way he talks like that.
Don't say that about my dog.
Well, he didn't sound like he could speak very well.
You never say that about someone's child. Why would you say that about someone's dog?
Did you go, what, cat got your tongue?
It's golden here, Mr. Vinion. I mean, come
what
on.
When you say, hey, boss, let's go, how do you know that the dog loves to do that? Or maybe it's just that he does it because he knows he better do it. That's what he's there for.
That's what he's bred for. This is what his mother and father, his grandma and grandma, he comes from a line of unbelievable retrievers. And, you know, the sad thing is, he gets to work for 60 nights. He doesn't even get 60 days. You know, he's a young dog. He's got about six hunts under his belt, and he just watching him mature. I'm just telling you, it's unbelievable. He's a great dog. Check out Wild Rose Kennel. One word. Wild Rose, Oxford, Mississippi.
It's free training.
Mike and Kathy Stewart, phenomenal people. And my trainer, Blake Henderson, you get down south, they call you Mr. Johnny. Did they used to call you Mr. Frank?
No, nobody's ever called me that, no.
Mr. Johnny, Mr. Johnny. I'm like, so when I'm giving Drake commands, should I need to use a southern accent? Because, you know, he was raised by, he's a trainer that had a southern accent. So I need to say, Drake, here. Drake, fetch that stuff.
Uh-oh.
You know what, though? There might be something to that. That dog was trained by southern people. I think he's onto something here. You need to speak a language that that dog has been taught to understand. Get on over here, boy. You know.
When you mentioned his name just now, did he look up at you and go, what do you want me to do?
What do you want me to do, boy?
He doesn't, his eyes off me, you know? I don't understand why this dog, it's kind of the same look that Mimi gives me. No, she does give me a look of love, but you know, there's nothing like a pet. There's nothing like, I mean, this guy, I mean, he's a working dog. So,
What about the 10 months? What about the other, you said 60 days. What about the other 10 months? What is he, does he practice at all during the 10 months, or does he, you just hope he remembers how to do it after 10 months go by?
He'll go back for tune-ups, down to Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
You know, and don't let him, want him to be gone for too long. I have to ask Dr. Doug. He was down in Mississippi for a week, and now he got some little stuff. It's a little goo coming out of his left eye, corner of his left eye. I need to go to Kirkwood vet and have him check it out. But it's not a lot, just a little. But I just rub it right out. Doesn't seem to bother him. He retrieved 8 ducks yesterday.
Oh.
So,
were there 8 that you shot? Did you shoot them or somebody else shoot them?
It was a combined effort. There were 3 hunters. Bob Osterholt, birthday boy Bob, yesterday. My buddy Steve Potter and myself.
Don't do it, Dan. Don't do the Potter. You did it already. So let's sell some cars. Let's sell some cars. What do you think? Trucks, okay. SUVs.
Sounds good to me.
What do you need to move?
What's that,
everything,
sir?
I said, what do you need to move? And I know you're going to say everything.
Well, if we just think about it, if we sold everything, what in the heck would we do?
We go duck hunting.
If we sold, like, all, right now we probably got about 750-plus new cars, new trucks, new SUVs, and used cars, and used trucks, and used SUVs. So, you know, one great thing, Londoff.com, L-O-N-D, Londoff.com, everything is priced. It's employee pricing on every new car, every new truck, every new SUV. You get to pay what I pay as a you know, dealership employee. Every, you know, GM employee, all 5,000 of the great people out at Wentzville, you get to pay what they pay. And it's thousands under invoice, and there's still additional rebates that come off of that price. So, you know, General Motors, Chevrolet wants to hit a big, big, big number for December, close the year out strong. And I'm excited. We already have a great month started yesterday. You know, did they predict that weather? I don't remember any talk.
I don't think so.
Right. All right.
What happened? All right. What happened? Did you leave us for a minute? What happened?
No. I just had a text message from somebody, and you know, so I'll take care of it when we're done. How about that? So,
that's a great story.
So, you know what? Hey, I got, you know, when I'm talking to Dan, I might as well go ahead and, act a little bit like him too every once in a while, just so that the audience knows that he's not the only one that fumbles over his words.
Well, we all do. Let me ask you a question. I just was looking at articles on the big LA auto show. Are you required to go? What auto shows do they want you to go to? What's the big one where all of you as dealers get to go see things unveiled? Is that LA or is it somewhere else?
It was in Las Vegas. And
okay.
It was 2 days after Easter. They wondered why they only had like 34-35% participation by the actual dealer. And in a big meeting up in Detroit, I said, because it was 2 days after Easter. Most people are on, like, a spring break. They're on a trip. And I said, let's see, do I leave, Florida with my family or Arizona or whatever and go to Las Vegas for really not too exciting meetings? That's not a knock on the current executive group of Chevrolet, but back in the day, I mean, these shows, these events, they were like a Las Vegas performance. They were worthy of saying, I'm going to spend 2 days in Las Vegas, and they're going to wow me with product, with just what we have coming out, what we have, the commercials, the upper-level executives. Just, you wanted to jump out of your chair, get on the plane, and fly back and start selling cars again. Not really happening.
So why am I seeing things like about last week, the L.A. autos? What the heck is that about? Is that
We have the St. Louis Auto Show.
But it's in February. It's coming up like January, February. So there must be auto shows all year.
The Detroit Auto Show is first, and then they travel all around the country.
Why? Yeah. It seems to me if you have one auto show and you unveil, here's what's new, what do you need the others for?
Because this generates sales. You know, the auto show that we have here in St. Louis, a lot of people wait to look at every vehicle. And then what the price of a ticket is, it's a steal. You can look at every make and model. Of course, the Chevrolets are the best. So once you hit the Chevrolet display, you'll say, now I know why they're the number one selling, car, truck in America. Combined sales.
Will you actually sell cars at the auto show, or do they just see something they like and then come to the dealership to get it? Or do you make the sale there ever?
It used to be a great question. It used to be a selling show the first couple of years. And then they said it just interfered too much with the ability that there were certain people that just didn't get any help at all. So now you have the manufacturers bring in representatives that know, a lot about the vehicles. Quite honestly, not as much as our salespeople do. Our salespeople train every month on product. They have quarterly tests. They stay up on just the features and the functionality of these cars. They're unbelievably, advanced with technology, but yet still nothing that we can't teach anybody how to use. If they can teach me how to use, all the bells and whistles, they can teach anybody. So it does. It stimulates a lot of interest, and it's coming right around the corner. But I can tell you this much. The deals in December with employee pricing, show you the invoice, you get to see exactly what a GM employee pays minus the rebates, and you have a trade-in, top trade-in values, because our used car operation, we're low on used cars, and I know it's a broken record, but when you keep selling everything you take in on trade, and you say, well, my car has 150,000 miles, I want it. Well, my car has 180,000 miles, I want it. We are keeping more and more cars with higher mileage. The cars are built so well that we're keeping them, putting them through our award-winning service operations, making people great deals on a vehicle that's under $10,000, under $7,000, under $5,000. So
that's it. We're going to run because we're getting Dr. Doug in here, but I want to mention something. I just watched a terrific movie last weekend called Green Book. And in the movie, there's a scene. It's a story about a guy who drives a musician around the country in a great big Cadillac. And there's a scene in there where he has to pull off the road and get a rag and take the radiator cap off because it's smoking and overheating. I can't remember the last time I ever saw a car do that. When you said cars are made so well now, folks, if you change the oil, basically that's kind of it. And every 100,000 mile change the spark plugs, cars can go 300,000 miles. And in the old days, that radiator, when I saw that in that scene, I can remember my dad more than once pulling over, looking for a place that had a garden hose or bucket of water to wait till the radiator to cool down. It's something that doesn't happen anymore. And neither does oil leaks. Under every car years ago, there was a place where the oil gradually dripped and leaked. They don't leak. They don't burn oil. Cars are really, really, people talk about the good old days. Forget it. Those cars don't even come close to cars today.
I mean, the cars in the, 50s, 60s, 70s, that they were unbelievably beautiful. But technology, these cars are built so well. They're so, you talk about tight. That's just the bolt patterns and the structure that, cars back in the 60s and 70s, after 12 months, 18 months, they'd loosen up. And you'd have to bring them in and get things refitted or replaced. But, you hop in the cab of a Chevy Silverado, and here's the difference, man. You get in a 5-, 6-, 7-, 8-year-old Chevy Silverado, and you drive that around the block in the highway, then get in a Ford. They both have 60, 70, 80,000 miles. There's no comparison. And I'm not bringing. I love. We sell Fords, use Ford pickup trucks. Sometimes we don't, but you know the Chevys are just built. It's just unbelievable. And the new Silverado, you haven't seen that yet. Wow. And the new HD, the 2500 series Silverado, doesn't look anything like the 1500. I mean, and that's just the technology they're able to bring to the, you know, to the consumers through the plant and through the production procedures and, you know, just how they build them today. They're all built on these massive digital screens. And then, you know, take a lot of the, there's no drawing boards anymore. It's all digital. And the, well, even the clay models are done by robotics, and it's pretty cool to see. So come and see us. We'll be here late tonight. Great deals all day long. 314-837-1800, 314-837-1800. And I'm about to flip you a picture. So that Green Book, that's...
It's a good movie.
When did you see it? It says upcoming movie.
No, I saw it this past weekend. It's out.
Okay.
When you see where it's playing, go see it. I think you'll really like it. Except for the fact, just pretend the Chevy is an Impala, and you'll really like it then. Okay?
I sent it to Mimi because we listen to a lot of... you're like our screening agent. You screen the movies, and then we watch them, or the Netflix, and I just sent her, I said, Green Book. And she goes,
all right, yeah. Make a note of it. All right, John. I will send you some business. Thank you. Bye-bye. You know, the interesting thing about him is... I'm the one that has to say, let's sell cars, because he wants to, you know, talk about duck calls and dogs and stuff. But that's a good thing, because I don't know that anybody wants to hear somebody go on for 15 minutes about hard-selling cars. So to his credit, he just kind of, as Dom DeLuise used to say, save for the end. He would always say that. People would applaud. He'd go, no, applause, no applause, save for the end. Could we have Dr. Doug's music?
There you go.
It is time to check in with your pet's best friend, the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, Dr. Doug Pernikoff, courtesy of Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the country, the preferred window of the red hot St. Louis Blues. You can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. Give it up, please. Oh, phone numbers for those of you who have pets and you have a question. And I welcome anybody's call who has ever had as a pet a naked rat. Please feel free to call 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, how is everybody today?
We're doing great, Doctor. How are you?
Good. I am AM in the pool.
Let me start by saying that thanks to you, and I don't mean that as a real thank you, my grandson now owns a naked rat. Do you guys know what this is, a naked rat?
Yeah, it's a hairless rat.
Yeah, it's a rat with no hair. It's one of the ugliest creatures that you can have as a pet. It's just ugly. And now my grandson has it, and now he has this lizard, this gecko. But thanks to Dr. Doug, because... I remember I was with my grandson at your clinic months ago. It's like three, four months ago when we saw a hairless rat, and I went, ugh, what's that thing? And you took it out and said, oh, it's a hairless rat. They make great pets. So now he has a rat as a pet. And by the way, Doc, it's already gotten away once, and my daughter-in-law, his mother, was not happy that there was a rat that they could not find in their house, and they finally found him down between under the cushions of the couch.
Now,
and thank goodness they did.
Your son sent me a video of your grandson. He was so darling. And I heard your son ask him, now, what are the rules? And he said, you know, don't let him get away.
Well, he's already on the way once. If it happens again, he may be losing this rat. Because women do not like knowing there's a rat loose in the house.
Yeah.
They
I'm a great
don't.
Instigator. I'm the greatest.
Yeah, you are. But you said they're actually really good pets. And I have to say, if you can get past his look, naked, hairless rat with a rat face, if you get past that, he does seem to be a kind of a fun little thing to play with.
Oh, yeah. They're very responsive to people. And the video I saw, your grandson was just having a great, great time with them. And just they just accept the pet relationship with the humans. So,
right,
and they're very smart.
Well, we have calls. You want to get to them?
Yeah, sure.
All right, again, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Donna is first. Donna, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. How are you?
Good, Donna. How are you, hon?
Okay. I'm hoping if you can help me out or maybe just give me advice. I have a 10-year-old Eagle Basset, and he's developed this cough that's really, really gotten really bad, and I can't remember that. I'm not really sure what it is.
Donna, yeah. We have a terrible cell connection here. Every other word is cutting out. Can you move somewhere where the signal's better, or you get another bar or something?
A little bit better.
Okay, all right.
So the cough started just recently?
You know, he's had it for quite a while, but it seems like it's gotten progressively worse.
Okay, are you talking about months kind of thing?
Yeah, months. A couple months.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so...
And I have a brief recording of it. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a brief recording of it. I can just play it for you real quick, maybe give you an idea what it sounds like.
This is a first.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, hold on. Come on.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, it sounds yucky.
It's like a rhinoceros vomiting or something.
Yeah, he kind of goes through this several times a day.
Okay.
And I mean, the first thing when he gets up in the morning, he sounds like he's been smoking for years.
Okay. So at 10 years of age, there could be a lot of different things going on. But if you told me that after activity or when he's waking up and he starts moving around, that you start to hear it more prominently, then one thing that your veterinarian is going to want to check out is just a good physical exam will tell him if there's any sounds of the heart that sound abnormal, because a lot of heart dogs, they get congestive heart failure just like humans. They'll do that. They'll be resting. They get up. They start moving around, and their circulation changes, and it causes an initial cough. And the reason is there's fluid accumulating in their lungs. But there are other reasons for it, and a 10-year-old dog really needs a good exam to rule those things out. And I would get him in right away. They may even want to take an x-ray of the chest, which would be a sensible thing to do, and rule out other possible things, like, God forbid, a growth or a tumor in the chest could do the same thing, or a collapsing trachea. There's lots of things that be going on, and I would suggest get him in there and let them do a good workup for you. Okay?
Because I just had him there, and they wanted me to take him to a specialist and put him through some tests and...
Did they do an x-ray or anything?
They did not. They said if I went to, a specialist, they would recommend doing an x-ray. He said even possibly it could be COPD.
Yeah, I mean, most veterinarians can do those initial workups, and you don't have to go to that greater expense. But if you do go to a specialist, you're going to definitely get a good workup. It's just going to cost more. So whatever works for you, but I would definitely do that and give... you know, your puppy every opportunity, because it might be something that's very manageable with certain medications.
Okay.
And have a good holiday.
Your time. Thank
you.
All
right, Donna. Thank you. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. 314, line is open now. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Marty, it's your turn. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug. How are you?
Good, Marty. And you?
Yeah, good. Hey, this is Marty from the class of 72.
So I hope
that brings back a memory. My wives have the same first name.
Oh,
anyway,
that's
Marty
a good
Levinson.
Story.
Yeah. So anyway, 10 years ago, I found a little red-eared slider in my pool about the size of my baby finger. And now he's about 9 inches long. Frank, can you show us what that looks like?
Yeah, hang on here. I'll show you. This is 9 inches right here. It's a pretty good size. There it is right there. 9 inches.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
So anyway, Dr. Doug, my toe.
Oh, my. Hang on, Marty. Hang on. Hang on, this is embarrassing. How long have you been on at this job now, a limestone? Like 15 months?
I know.
14 months?
Yeah, 15 months.
And he says, anyway, and you hit hallelujah. Here's what we're going to do. Hang on, Marty. Hang on, Doc. We have to do this because this is not acceptable, and it's embarrassing.
And he missed it two times before.
Yeah, he's asleep at the wheel today. Edit that out.
Radio edit.
And as soon as the show's over, Limestone, I want to see you in the evaluation room, okay?
Of course.
Now, Marty, what I need for you to do, Marty, is I want you to say anyway again. Go ahead.
All right, I'll continue with my story, but anyway.
Anyway.
There you go.
See, that's not supposed to work.
All right, so Dr. Doug, my turtle is fine and healthy, but I've noticed that, you know, the red markings on either side of his head that give him their name, over the years, it seemed to, you know, turn into a pink and a light pink color. Is that, do you know if that's normal or is there anything I should be worried about?
Yeah, as long as everything's going well, he's keeping his weight up and he's eating and all, you know, pooping normally, I wouldn't worry about it at all. That could just be an individual variation. It's the slider, are you going to keep him, like, for the rest of his life? Is that your intent?
Yeah, and actually I convinced my son. I told him I'm going to put him in my will for him. As long as he'll take care of the turtle, I'm going to give my son a little extra, you know, stipend there at the end.
What animal are we talking about here? What's a slider? What is this?
It's a water turtle.
Okay, so I didn't even know what we were talking about. Water turtle. Yeah, okay.
I've got him in like a 50-gallon tank.
Yeah. What kind of 50-gallon tank?
It's about 80 gallons, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a big tank. Yeah, so, Marty, if I remember correctly, you were an amazing pole vaulter.
Oh, that's true. Thank you.
That's true. He was a great athlete in high school. But that's
a good story.
9 inches is pretty amazing. I'm wishful and hopeful.
That's what she said.
But I think your turtle's fine, and just keep it going. And if you have questions or if you see anything else happening, like the shell peeling off or anything like that, then just call us. Okay.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Talk to you.
All right. Thank you, Marty. All right. Out of callers. So
I have a question for Dr. Doug. A friend of mine just sent me a text and asked me to ask you why dogs' front paws are bigger than their back paws.
Well, I don't know that that's true. But the front paw does support typically one more active.
Well, the front paw is certainly supporting more weight because the shoulders and the head.
The back. Usually, you say the back is controlling all that hip weight and stuff like that. So I'm not sure that that's true. I'm not sure where you got that. But maybe his dog has just some kind of weird physical thing.
Or your friend's Dan's an idiot. Your friend's an idiot. That's all.
I was going to say, if we have a few seconds, I could also just mention something about holiday pet shopping, if that's okay.
Go for it.
Okay, so, you know, this is a time of year where people are looking for new puppies or kittens for the Christmas gift. And I just want people to understand that you got to do your homework. We've talked about this historically. You want to make sure that you decide what's going to be the best type of dog for your household, which means, you know, how old are your kids, what's your house situation look like, what's your time availability, because you're going to have a responsibility of training. Do you understand the cost that associated with buying the or acquiring the animal, the vet care, the training, the equipment, leads, crates, toys, and food? All these kind of things need to be understood, because once you have that commitment, you've got a 10 or 15 or sometimes 20-year commitment. And you need to let the kids understand if they're very young, that if they're going to have a role, that dog has to come with a responsible and accountability. People have to be responsible to it. So that's a lot to do, but if you're going to do that, do it correctly, because this time of year we get a lot of people buy the dogs or with the cats or whatever the pet is, and then it turns around and it doesn't work out, and now this poor animal's in a quandary, and then the people have spent a lot of money. So be responsible.
Can I add something? I think sure. It's important. I think it's important to consider whether or not there are any really elderly people in your house. And here's why I say that. Some bigger dogs like to jump up on people. They could knock Granny off her walker and break a hip. And you don't want a big dog that likes to jump up on people if your elderly grandmother lives in the house. And the other thing is, are you somebody who has a lot of company? Because, right. you know, there are dogs that don't like strangers. And if you have people over a lot, you don't want one of those dogs.
And don't forget that the little dogs can get underfoot and be just as dangerous for anybody, but especially
Granny could trip on that dog and break a hip, too.
Yeah.
Right, now, see, so, here's what happened. When I say, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, these are all good points. And, again, you have to sit down. And I always tell people, search out what you think you want. And if you go to find, and whether it's a rescue dog or a bred, special bred dog or whatever, then you make sure you go, if your kids are little, you go and explore it before, because if you take the kids, the first dog you see is probably the first dog they're going to want. And that may not be the best choice for you all, for the household.
All right. Make sense? Now, this never fails. As soon as I say we don't have any callers, everybody who waited to call calls. Now they're all calling. Folks, you have to call when we start the segment, and then just keep calling as somebody finish a line. I've preached this for years, but we're going to stay on here now that people are calling and get Ken in here. Ken, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
And thank you very much, Frank, AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Hi, Ken.
Hey, my wife. How are you, sir? Hey, my wife has her theory on this, but I don't know if I agree with it. But why do dogs howl at sirens?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, I would only be guessing, but I think that any noise kind of stimulates them. You know, like even motors from any situation, like a vacuum cleaner, whatever we mentioned recently. So I really think that I'm not sure why a siren does in particular, and I know it doesn't always happen. It might be an individual dog, but I'm just thinking they're responding to anything that's unusual and unique in their environment that kind of presents. But that would be her theory.
Yeah, my wife's theory is that that's their pack, and she's howling back at her pack.
You know, yeah. I don't know that that's wrong. I just don't know that it's right.
I think it's a foreign sound to them, and I think it might even hurt their ears. They got really sensitive ears, and the pitch of a siren, it could actually kind of hurt their ears.
That might be
I think.
My dog seems to love it. I mean, at a parade, she'll just stand there and howl the most haunting, beautiful howl, and she's wagging her tail the whole time.
Wow. Interesting.
Ken?
I was just kind of curious.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Behavioralists and see if they know.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. John, you're on. John, say hi to Dr. Doug and welcome to 590.
Hey, Dr. Doug. How are you?
Good, John. And you?
I'm AM in the PM.
What you got?
Okay, I know people have asked this before, but I really need to break my dog, one of my dogs. We have three black labs, and the most timid black lab that we have, she has this horrible habit of going outside and eating poop.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, we've had this happen before.
I really...
We
go outside with them, so they're not just running free in the yard. And then she's real sneaky, though.
Right. So I know I've mentioned this before. There's more than one product, but the one that I think you'll find at most veterinary clinics is one called Forbid. And you put it into their diet. It's a granular material, and it incorporates into their body and in some way deters them from eating poop. And it's been very, very effective. We've used it a lot. And also, I think I've mentioned in the past, some people have used Adolph meat tenderizer, but you got to go around the yard and salt the poop, and that would look awful strange to your neighbors.
That would taste good.
Yeah, it might. But I would stick with the Forbid or one of those kind of products. And like I said, every day there's more and more of those kind of products available. But check with your veterinarian. I'll bet you can find that product or something very similar. Okay.
John, here's the other thing you can do, and I don't know if you've tried this or not. Go out in your yard, and you poop, and then let the dog see you eat your own poop and watch you throw up. And then the dog will go, hey, man, I'm not doing that. Look how sick it made my master.
Oh, that's
you might try it. You could try that. How do they work?
Is 4-bid pricey?
No. No. And it comes in a little box of...
Yeah. Here's what I don't understand. What is 4-bid? You're telling me that 4-bid, then when they poop, it makes the poop what? Not desirable, like it is anyway? How can you make poop any more disgusting than it already is?
Well, I mean, it may not be disgusting to the doggy. And, you know, they even tell me that, I've talked to pediatricians that tell me that even young babies will explore and eat their own poop if they're allowed to at times. So I've never seen that.
You had three kids, right?
Yeah, they never ate their poop.
Yep, mine had three. Mine neither. No,
mine neither. Although, not that I know of, at least.
If I saw one of my kids eating his or her own poop, I'm not kidding, off to the orphanage. Something's wrong. You're going up for adoption.
You know, Frank, I broke my dog of this with exactly what Dr. Doug's talking about, and it's because it's got hot red pepper.
Is that what it is?
Kind of something in it, and it makes the dog's mouth explode in heat, and he stopped doing it because of it.
Okay, yeah, I don't know if that's it or not, but that could be.
If you put it in their food when they're eating, how is it different than when it's after it's been digested and excreted?
Yeah, good question.
It was a pill.
You know what I'm saying? Those are good technical questions, and we'll have to do some homework. We just do it. You can hear my dogs in the background because someone just came to the door.
Yeah.
I hope they're not looking for some poop.
John, thank you for the call.
Bye, John.
Yeah, I don't get that. It's something we put in food to make poop not taste good.
It was in a pill form, Frank.
Yeah, but the idea of trying to make poop not appealing, it's already not appealing. It's poop. One more quick call here. At least one more I think we can get in here. That would be Chris. Chris, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Doug. How you doing today?
Good. How about you?
Good. Hey, I have a quick one. I have a mini golden doodle. He's 4 months old, and... he has the excitement pee. When somebody shows up, he pees on the ground. How can I make that stop sooner than later?
Yeah, so this is always a difficult one because part of it has to do with growth and maturation, and part of it has to do with maybe when you know I know there's spontaneous visits, but if you know that you're going to have guests or something, then you always want to make sure that the dog is aware of their approach before they get there. So... he doesn't get all excited and do the pee. But I really think it's going to be probably a time and tell kind of thing. And also, you know, when they're young and you can get them out more often than usual, but it's still, I think they're going to always have some reserve in there. It's not a simple solution. It really isn't. And we all have to deal with it.
Will he grow out of it?
Yeah, that's usually what happens is they'll grow out of it. And I can't tell you a specific age for any given animal because every animal is going to be different. But I would just anticipate.
I could use what Frank said, and when my friends show up, I'll just, you know, pull it out and I'll pee on the ground, and then my dog will look at me and say, "Well, that looks stupid." And he'll
stop doing Chris, it. No, Chris, you're close. And I was going to tell you what to do when a friend comes over to the house. You take it out and you pee right in front of your friend and have your wife there and have your wife hit you in the head real hard with something. And the dog will see that and go, "Man, I don't want to get hit like that. I'm not peeing when people come over." It'll work. There you go. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for the call. All right. Now, I know we can work. Let's just keep going here. Work Debbie in. Debbie, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Debbie.
Okay. Hello, and I am AM and PM.
Thank you.
Yes.
What you got?
I got a quick question. When you were talking about that product that keep dogs from eating their own doo-doo, yes. can this be used on a three-month-old Australian Shepherd puppy?
Yes, I believe that that time age, and again, I'd have to review the package, but I don't think that that would be... forbidden.
Okay. Forbidden. She's about 25 pounds now.
Yeah, I think that should be safe. But again, when you call up your vet to ask for the product, just make sure that there's usually a age kind of information part. And I don't remember that would be a problem at all. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, this puppy has worms, And so they're giving them the stuff to get rid of the worms, but the dog keeps going out and eating its own poop, so it just keeps on, coming back all the time.
Yeah. And the other
terrible circle.
The only thing I can think of is this could save you a lot of money, Debbie, on dog food. The dog poops, eats it, poops, eats it, poops, eats it. Just a cycle. You don't have to buy any more food. That's the only good thing I can think about.
Well, the other part you can do, Debbie, is just kind of control access for a while. So that puppy, it's a little bit more work on your part. But, get out there with a lead and don't let the puppy get access to it. And as it matures, that would be a quicker way to get control of that. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the help.
Oh, no problem.
Right. Thank you, Debbie. I never knew this was such a problem, a dog's eating their own doo-doo.
Yeah.
Okay, I lied. We'll do one more. Rick. Rick, you're up next. Welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug. How are you?
Hey, Rick. I'm good, and you?
Not bad. AM and PM.
Thank you.
Quick question. I have a 12-year-old Wheaton Terrier, and it is continuously getting ear infections. I mean, we get these drops, rub it in, clean his ear out on antibiotics, and he just continuously gets it. And he's also vomiting like a yellow, and I don't know if that's drainage from the ear infection or what that may be, if they're probably affiliated to one another or what?
I think they're separate problems, unless there's a medication that your vet is giving you orally that could be irritating, because the yellow vomit is actually bile, and that happens when the stomach is empty without food, and you get a regurgitation from the small intestines, and that material comes up into the stomach and then out the door. So that might have to do with some kind of nausea or some other issue. Now, as far as the ear goes, the ear is a chronic issue for many, many dogs. And I've tried, every vet has their own little protocol, their own products they like to use. And I think I mentioned one time there is an additional new opportunity if your vet has a what we call a cold and make some that have a stem that goes right down into the ear canal, and that really has been excellent at, in our experience, at healing that lining. The problem is that once you have an issue and it keeps coming back, that there's a change in the scarring and healing that goes on in the ear lining makes it more difficult for the ear to heal permanently. So it tends to become more of a management concern. And again, everybody you go to is going to have a different protocol. And some people add a little cortisone for the real bad infections while you're using antibiotics too in the treatment. Some people use drugs that you put into the ear and you don't touch, you don't clean. There's, like I said, there's probably as many protocols as there are veterinarians in the area. So,
Doc, we got 20 seconds. 20 seconds.
Okay. So I would just say, talk to your vet about, how do we do this in the best way for this particular animal, and if he doesn't have a solution, then explore other options, I think would be fair. Okay?
Okay. Well, I appreciate the help.
All right, Rick, thank you. Doc, next week when we do this, don't stand wherever you were standing the last 3 minutes, because your phone sounded like Debbie's phone. It kept cutting in and out of there. Just a request. We'll see you next Wednesday, okay?
Okay, and I agree. That movie was amazingly fun to listen to. Okay?
No. Okay, thank you. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody. The movie was amazing to listen to. I'm not sure what that meant. The movie was amazing to listen to.
Was he talking about the Green Book, perhaps?
I think so, but I don't know why it was amazing to listen to, but I'll figure it out later. I'll call him and ask him what he meant. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, courtesy of Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. If you're going to retire, or even not, maybe you're just changing jobs, you probably got a 401k, many of you do, or some sort of retirement account, I'm going to suggest a meeting, a conversation with Mark Rudin and Jason Becker. That's right, markandjason.com. You'll hear it again here in a few minutes, the website. For almost 30 years, these guys have built a very strong practice at Stifel as financial advisors. Stifel is a member of the SIPC and NYSE. And you may have an advisor currently. What's wrong with a good second opinion? Nothing is the answer. Complimentary meeting. You set it up. I'm going to give you the website again. The phone number is there. And what do you have to lose? A second opinion is never a bad idea. This is important stuff. This is your future. Here's the number. Here's the website, rather. MarkandJason.com. Stay where you are. You know what's coming up. Playhouse, Joe, after the news. 5 o'clock, 590, The Fan.
This is TJ Moe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590TheFan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. National and world leaders are paying their final respects to former President George H.W. Bush. Still, the pain of a family losing a father is what people will remember from today's funeral service at the Washington National Cathedral. Former President George W. Bush emotionally described his dad.
A diplomat of unmatched skill,